And now, after years of planning, sweating, and going broke, here is the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
And it left the media.
Why they would give this man a podcast is anyone's guess.
And there is what could only be a bizarre coincidence or something else.
Welcome to the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
Trapped, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Country music and fine moonshine. Finally, a podcast that lets it all hang out.
Let's level with America.
Got your boots? Ready for some whiskey?
These boots are made for walking.
One of these days, these boots are gonna walk all over you.
And now, the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
Hey, everyone. Jim here, Boots and Whiskey Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in today. We have Aaron Kirby on the show. Now, if you don't know who Aaron Kirby is, welcome to country music in 2024. This girl, I'm telling you, she's going to be on a freaking rocket sooner rather than later. She just released a song with Cameron Marlowe not too long ago. She has the voice, the power, the chops, whatever you want to call it, to be the next big female artist in country music when it comes to, you know, and I mean this, no disrespect, when it comes to radio playability. I'm telling you, Aaron Kirby has it. She's got great tunes out. She's a sweetheart. She's a lot of fun. You're gonna see all that or hear all that here in a few minutes. So again, Aaron, thank you so much for coming on the show today. For everybody that is new to this show and just here for Aaron, welcome. You are now part of the Boots of Whiskey Podcast family. So buckle up. You're in for a hell of a treat. If you haven't done so already, please feel free to follow us on all of our socials. Instagram, Facebook is like where you're going to get most of this stuff. We do have a TikTok that I don't post on enough, but we have a ton of followers there in the whole nine yards. So thank you so much for tuning in today and joining the ride. We've got some great episodes previous to this. We have a great bunch of great episodes lined up coming after this. But today we have Aaron here and just sweetheart beyond words. Couldn't have been more happy with this conversation. So again, thank you so much, Madam Kirby. And we'll leave it at that, guys. We're going to leave it right there. We're going to hope you enjoy the conversation and, you know, we'll see you on the flip side. So without further ado, our conversation with the incredible Aaron Kirby. Enjoy. We want to give a big thank you to our friends over at Off the Rails here in Worcester, Massachusetts. You can find them at offtherailswooster.com. They have a great restaurant, a great music venue. They have everything you would want to feel like in Nashville right here in Central Mass. If you're ever in the area, check out the restaurant, check out the music venue. Again, offtherailswooster.com, 90 Commercial Street, Worcester. Check them out. Hey, Aaron.
Hi.
What's going on?
Not a whole lot. How are you?
You know, not too bad. Not too bad. It's, what is it, Thursday?
Yeah.
Thursday? Yeah. You know, the week's almost over. It's been a hell of a week, that's for sure.
I know. To me, it keeps feeling like Friday today. I don't.
Oh, stop that. Don't even. yeah, you know, it's vacation week here next week for the kids in our schools.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it's wild. It's wild.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. So how are you?
I'm doing great. Just I went home back to Georgia this past weekend, I guess, and kind of been just chilling this week, riding and keeping it pretty chill.
Nice. Now, I don't know if they've told you much about what we do here, but this show is about you. I want you to, you know, tell your story and, you know, how you started, where you came from, you know, all that, you know, typical stuff. And we'll dive into some heavy stuff as it comes along.
Awesome. Amazing. I'm super excited. Thank you so much.
Oh, hell yeah. So who are you?
Who am I? Well, my name's Aaron Kirby.
Not to get too philosophical so quick.
I am from a small town in North Georgia called Jasper. I am a girl who loves music and loves the Lord, loves family, and believes that she was given a gift from God and wants to use that and never take it for granted. So
nice. So yeah. When did you start singing?
Goodness, I've pretty much came out of the womb singing. I've just forever. But when I started singing on stage, I guess I was about 8, and I decided to do a pageant. I asked my mom, and she said, sure. My parents have always been very supportive. So I did a pageant, competed in the talent division, and fell in love with music and singing.
All right, I'm going to stop you. Now, did you know you could sing before you even got into this pageant? Or was this like a, oh, what the hell, I'll give it a shot?
I think I had a lot of confidence as a little sassy 8-year-old. And so I believed that I could do anything.
Not a girl.
At the same time, my parents noticed that I would pick up on lyrics really, really quickly and would always sing songs pretty close to what they sounded like. And so they encouraged me a little bit. They were like, you know, there is a talent part of this if you want to do it. And I was like, yes, I do. Put
yeah.
Stage, please. So
that's awesome. That's, you know, it's funny you say that about, you know, picking up on song lyrics and stuff. Do you remember, you know, when you're a kid, right, you tend to like latch onto a song and just sing that one over and over and over again, whether you're by yourself or it comes on the radio and you're in the car. Like, do you remember what that first song was that, you know, your parents were probably like, all right, kid, like, find a new song?
Oh, goodness. I'm not sure. I do remember I would always sing Because of You by Kelly Clarkson. That was,
oh my God.
That was the one song my mom would always play, and I would always sing that song, and I would sing every part, and I would give myself an accent if like it was the version with and yeah, I do remember singing that song all the time.
It's, all right. So if that was your song when you were little, you've got to be like what, 26 years old?
wait, you cut out. How old was I? 6?
I said 26 now.
I'm 20 now.
Oh my God. Oh.
Yeah.
I'm not even close, Erin.
Well, you got the 20 part, right?
Well, I guess, right? Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that just makes it all that much more interesting, your story.
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, I mean, and I say that because you carry yourself, you know, through social media and all that, like, you know, and don't take this the wrong way, but much older than that.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Now, do you do all that yourself, or do you have a social media team, or if somebody reaches out to Erin Kirby on Instagram, are they going to talk to you?
Yeah, so I do have someone that helps me with just actually getting the posts up. However, I send in all the posts. And if you do send me a message, it will be me answering. I answer back to all my comments. That's just something that I feel I shouldn't have to have someone else do. Like, yeah. If I were messaging, you know, Morgan Wallen, I would hope that Morgan Wallen would message me back.
Right.
And
in between chair throws.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
put you know,
your chair down and answer your message real quick. No, I just, you know, I feel that, like I said at the beginning of this, God has given me a gift, and I don't want to take that for granted. I don't want to let it get to my head. So I'm going to talk to these people, because also you never know where a conversation can lead. I've had messages that have gone into much deeper conversations. I've had messages that start with, you're a really good singer, to them like finding Jesus through us talking. Oh. So I think it's really important that I'm the one that's messaging back and really taking the time to talk with my fans. It also helps me with my songwriting, like wanting to know what they want to hear and stuff.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So then did you, what, I get so like into it, and don't mind me and my language. I'm from New England.
Oh, okay.
So we, you know, if I swear, it's like a comma in the sentence. It's not like.
You're good. My mom's from Chicago, so.
Oh, all right. So you get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm about an hour south of Boston, so.
Oh, wow. I actually have a lot of friends from Boston.
Do you?
Yeah.
Why? I'm not why in like a bad way. In a bad way.
Well, a few of my friends, they actually go to Belmont, and they're at school here, so they're from Boston.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's pretty funny because like I'll be talking about something that I did as a child, and they'll be like, "Oh, we don't do that. I've never done
Aaron." Yeah. Yep. So are you going to Belmont now?
No, I'm not. I've just my best friend goes to Belmont, so she connected me with a few of her friends, and it's kind of crazy. She and I actually met on TikTok through Pick My Own Flowers years ago when I originally teased it. She did a video to the song, and we connected and just got together. I had just moved to town and was looking to make some friends, and just weird how it happened, and now we're best friends.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So is that how you kind of, you know, I don't want to say got your start because I think that's cliche, but is that how you, you know, the fire got lit onto you is through, you know, social media and that sort of thing to make you take the push and the leap to go from, you know, Georgia to Nashville?
No, not at all. So when I was doing pageants, I did them for about 4 years, but in the middle there, I guess I was about 10 and I competed on a national level, competed against Justin Timberlake's manager's daughter. And he wasn't there to see his daughter, but her aunt sent a video of my talent performance at the time to him. And he flew into the pageant for the last day and walked up to me and he's like, "Hey, I heard your performance. Here's my card. I'd love for you to meet with me. Like, I'd love to meet, like, let's see where else we can go past pageants." And I was like, I'm 10 years old. This is crazy. Thank you. And then I never went ahead with the meeting because I was 10. And I will say it gave me the confidence to look around in Georgia for more shows, open mics, and other opportunities to perform outside of pageants. And I would say that's kind of what lit the fire underneath me. When I started getting into the Atlanta crowd, I jumped into like an R&B pop kind of genre and worked there for a long time, worked in New York, LA, and COVID is really what made me find and fall in love with country music. Being back in my small town, I learned that I was writing things that kind of felt like a show, like an act almost. Like country music is just who I am and I love it.
So why were you doing pop music prior to that?
I actually didn't grow up on country music. Like I would say the only country song I would listen to would be that Kelly Clarkson song. And it's only country when Reba's on it, I feel like. So when I started singing, I would sing Adele. I would sing James Brown, Nina Simone, and jump really into the soulful side of things. I loved that. I think that's part of my mom being from Chicago. She would play the R&B hits all the time. And that's just what I grew up with. My dad would listen to rock. It was never country. And it was something I found on my own.
Damn.
Yeah.
Now, is dad from Georgia?
He is. He's from Georgia.
Okay. All right. So, you know, at least was the rock and roll like Southern rock and roll or was it?
It was Southern rock, I'd say.
Yeah.
But, you know, we were doing redneck things. We just weren't listening.
We were doing redneck things. We just weren't doing the music that went with the redneck.
Exactly. We're out there like listening to while we're riding our four wheelers around.
That's awesome. That's so funny. So at what point then do you say, you know what? Jasper, Georgia is not for me. I gotta go to Nashville.
Well, so I found country music. How I like to say I was on my way to Jesus camp. I was literally a worship leader for a middle school summer camp. It was a week long. And one of the.
With keeping that Central Mass vibe going, we have to thank our friends over at the DCU Center. Again, here in Worcester, DCUCenter.com. They are the premier venue here in Central Massachusetts. They are a mid-size arena. They're the home of the Worcester Railers, the Massachusetts Pirates. Numerous concerts, numerous events. Check them out, dcucenter.com. They are at 50 Foster Street, right here in Worcester. Cheers.
The other worship leaders was a country artist. So the whole week he made me listen to country music. And at first I was like, dude, why do you keep playing country music? And by the end of it, I was like, because the Lord was trying to get to me through country music. And I just fell in love with it. So I started posting like covers and things, country, and they were just doing better because it was so authentic to who I am.
Yeah.
And through that, my attorney at the time in Atlanta connected me with my now manager here in Nashville. So to me, it was God saying, you know, here's your genre, here's your team, but I'm going to need you to make a big step and I'm going to need you to move to Nashville. So that's just what I did. My mom, I was still in high school at the time. So I was 18. My mom and I would come up here and stay 4 or 5 days every week, go home on the weekends and go back and forth every week. And we did that for about a year and a half.
So, damn.
Yeah. Pretty wild.
Yeah.
Now I'm up here all the time.
So now what, while you're doing that back and forth, like what sort of things are happening? What's helping you get to, you know, where you are now?
Yeah, I wrote a ton. I was writing 5 days a week. We cut a bunch of songs. Now we've gone back down to writing 2 or 3 days out of the week, just because I feel that it's more fun, especially now that I've gotten kind of into it, because writing country music is so different than writing any other genre. And I did not realize that until I moved to Nashville. So it is a lot more fun, especially when you have that time in between to just think and enjoy. And I would say just moving here and busting my butt every day, having something going on, has definitely helped get me to where I am now. But now I get to bust my butt on other things, other than writing songs.
Now, when you say, when you say that writing country music is different than writing other kinds of music, like, what do you mean by that? Like, what is that, you know, because, I mean, for me, you know, country music is the only genre that, you know, will tell you a story from beginning to end, right? Now, is that what you mean, or is it just, you know, the lyrics and the songs are just different? I'm just trying to figure out how they're different.
Yeah, it's honestly a little bit of all of it. Definitely the story side, but also the intentions going into a write. Like, here we go in, and yes, we're all going to become best friends after this, but we're going to get a song done. And I feel that when I was writing those pop songs, it was less about let's get the song done and more about a hangout. So we would hang out or go to lunch, and it was all great and wonderful, but it might take a lot longer for us to get a song finished, which is fine. But coming here, I was like, oh, we don't just chat for like an hour and a half and then we'll write a piece of the verse and then go somewhere and then come back. And that was just stuff I had to learn, like, oh, we get the song done and then we get to hang out.
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Now, for the songs that you are writing or have written, what are some things for you that like stand out, you know, whether you're writing for yourself or somebody else? Like,
yeah,
have you ever written something and been, you know, been in a write with for somebody else or with other people and been like, damn, I should have saved that one for me, you know?
You know, right now we're just writing for my project. And if it ends up that a song does not match my project, then it will be pitched to someone else. But I haven't had that moment yet, since we do go in and hopefully get something that I'll end up releasing.
Nice. Do you have like a either a short list or a long list of artists that you would love to have cut your stuff?
Oh goodness. Who? No, I guess not. I don't know. Like, whoever wants to pick up one of them little babies, they can have them.
Yeah, I mean, you know, absolutely. I mean, I know if I could write a song, I'd have a list, probably a mile long. Yep. And I probably would be so disappointed that nobody picked it up.
Oh, my gosh. No. Somebody would.
Yeah. I mean, I guess. So, you know, you're doing all this stuff. You're singing songs. You're writing songs. You're going to rounds. You're releasing duets with Cameron Marlowe or whoever the hell, whichever Cameron it is this week. What do you do just to be you?
Yeah. Well, first off, I eat a lot. I love food. Like I say,
you're my best friend.
If I could not be in the music industry, I would probably be a food critic. But the problem would be I like everything. So then everybody would have 5 stars everywhere.
Wait a minute. Hold on. You like every food out there?
Well, I don't like cauliflower. That's probably the only one.
Have you ever had like fried cauliflower?
I've had it every which other way. I've given it its chances. I've had it as
okay.
crust.
All right, fair enough.
Mashed potatoes as a rice, as a by itself, and whatever. It's just, I don't love it.
Yeah, we do cauliflower rice at my house, and it's not bad. It's not bad.
Well, maybe I'm tasting the wrong cauliflower. I don't know.
No, I mean, hey, listen, it's the only, you know, for me, vegetables have to be masked as other things for me to even attempt it. And so,
yeah,
I, you know, I get it.
Yeah, no. So I eat a lot. I hang out with my friends a lot. I go home back to Georgia when I can because it is only a 3-hour drive. Sure. I love just being in my small town and being with all those people that I grew up with and getting to just sit around and hang out. I'm a big quality time person, so I don't really care what we're doing. Just as long as I'm with some of my closest friends, I'm good. Like, that's probably what helps me the most.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Now, who are some of those close friends that you have in Nashville that, you know, maybe people may know or even people may not know?
Oh, well, definitely my best friend who I met on TikTok, Sophia, she comes to all my shows with me and we do pretty much everything together. It's pretty crazy. A lot of people even think we're sisters. And we have another friend, Rachel. So it's like the three of us and we go and eat. We love driving around and listening to music. And it's really fun because I get to play my friends my songs. And I know that they'll be honest with me. They love music. So they'll tell me which ones they really love and what I should fix in some songs, which is cool.
And that's awesome.
There's a few songwriters I've made friends with. Nicole Coteau, Frank Leger, Sydney Cubitt. Just a few in town that, you know, we'll write and then we'll also be like, wait, this night was so much fun that I don't think 5 hours is enough time. We need to like hang out more.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Now for you as a songwriter, do you have those moments where, you know, you could be not even thinking about writing a song, right?
Mm-hmm.
And something comes up, whether it's, you know, you're driving around or whatever, or you know, had a dream and wake up. Do you have like something with you at all times to be like, oh, that's a really good line? Like,
oh, all the time. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I just put it in my phone.
How often do those lines or ideas or whatever, you know, make their way into an actual song?
Actually, a lot.
Yeah.
Almost most of the time, it's those ideas that we put into a song. It's so weird.
Now, how often are you writing songs that you think are really good or, you know, have an outline of a song that you think is a really good idea and then, you know, you finish it and then you look back on it and you're like, no, that wasn't it. That didn't do it for me.
I would say there are a few of those, but I think it's not that they're bad songs. I think that I just grow as a songwriter and I'll look back at it 5 months later and be like, well, I really could make this better. And I think that's the only reason why, or it just doesn't fit the genre, like the lane I'm going into. I feel like when I first came to town, I'm still stuck a little bit in that pop realm. And so the songs that I first wrote, I probably would not release as myself now because they do have that pop edge. Whereas I have been writing really country and even country soul stuff within the past year. So
nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Now, but you know, you think about some of those songs that maybe you've written in the past that you know, maybe not do as they are. Have you thought about changing them a little bit to make them a little more country?
Possibly. I have thought about that. There's a few of them that I still hold on to and will go back to and wonder either if it's in the production of the demo or if it's actually songwriting. There's definitely a few. We have a long list that we would like to cut. And we've just been taking them 2-3 at a time.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So things that you have cut and, you know, put out there and stuff, like what are some highlights for you in the music you've got going on currently?
Yeah, so like you said, the Cameron Marlowe thing, that song's out. That was an amazing opportunity. I'm such a huge fan of Cameron, and to be able to debut that at the Opry with him, that's definitely a highlight. Pick My Own Flowers has been a highlight. It got on some major playlists, especially on Spotify, which was super exciting. And I know that that song is really healing hearts, just like I've always wanted to do with my music. I've received several messages from girls being like, I really needed this song in this moment, and you're helping me realize that I'm worth more than my breakup. And those are the biggest highlights. Like, it, that means more than anything else, because it means that I am doing my job right.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
I would say my first release as a country, Aaron Kirby, that was a super big highlight with Boys These Days. People seem to love that song, and they still do. And it's just a super fun one. I love that I'm able to release fun songs and really meaningful songs at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I want to get to the Cameron Marlowe thing a little more.
Yeah.
How does that happen?
Well,
So I think I would be totally remiss if I didn't mention our friends over at 10thWhiskey.com. That's 10th Mountain Whiskey and Spirit Company. They're out of Vail, Colorado. Great, great friends of ours. We don't like bourbon here at the Boots and Whiskey Podcast, and they make the absolute best bourbon I've ever tasted in my entire life. And I'm not saying that because they've been great to us. They have the best bourbon, the best rye I've ever tasted in my entire life. So check them out, 10thWhiskey.com. Tell them the Boots and Whiskey Podcast sent you. Cheers.
Honestly, had a crazy thing happen through TikTok. He had posted the voice memo for I Can Lie, The Truth Is, looking for a female to duet the song. And I decided, what the heck? Like, I'm a big Cameron Marlowe fan. Maybe he'll see it and comment on it. And so I duetted it, and that was it. I really did not expect much to come from it.
Are you serious? It was just like that, I don't want to say simple, but that simple?
Yeah, I was just hoping he would comment. Like, that was all I wanted. And it did much more than that. So it went back and forth for a few months, people tagging me in his videos, people tagging him in my videos. And it got to a point where I was just like, guys, I can't do anything anymore. Like, I really appreciate your support, but I don't think anything's happening with this song. And I was told by my manager one day that we were going to go to lunch. So I was dressed really casually, and he pulls up to his studio and he's like, well, let's just stop here real quick, because I actually wanted to look at this place for photos. I think that you would like it. So It's me and my creative director and my manager, and we go in, we're looking around, and I notice that one room, someone's working in there. Next thing I know, we're walking in the room, and I'm like, well, we don't need to go in there today. But Cameron Marlowe walks up to me, and he's like, hi, I'm Cameron. And I'm like, yeah, I know. I'm so sorry we're bothering your session. I know. Oh, my God. And he was like, no, actually, we brought you in today. This is a surprise, and we were wondering if you would cut the song. But if not, that's okay. I was like, absolutely, I'll cut the song. Don't even say it's okay if I don't, because it's not, because I'm going to do it right now. Let's do it. And how that happened.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was amazing.
So did you at least get lunch at some point?
I don't even remember.
Oh, okay.
I think that I was just like not even hungry anymore. I was so excited. It was just like, holy crap.
Yeah, yeah. Now, how long did it take you to get it right? Or not get it right. You know what I mean? Like, finish it.
Yeah, it only took us, I want to say, 2 hours. That was with me, like, learning the song, figuring out my parts, and then cutting my part.
Nice.
Which he and his team were both shocked. They were like, we have this booked for a lot longer, so we didn't know if you could come in here and, like, be ready or not.
Damn. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was really, really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, I love telling my Cameron Marlowe stories, and I'm sure people are getting sick of him by now, but every time I've had Cameron Marlowe lined up for this show,
yeah,
it's been canceled at the last minute.
Oh, no.
So I have, like, I almost have, like, a, I don't want to say a bitter, you know, because I know it's not his fault, necessarily, right. You know, but it's kind of like one of those, like, I like your songs, but I don't want to because you keep blowing me off.
No, I honestly think he's just so busy. He, like, yeah, oh, yeah. And he shocked me, and maybe he just loves last minute because he loves
me. Yeah, I mean, that very well could be. But yeah, no, I bust Cameron's chops as often as I can about that. I really do. I mean, I'm sure he doesn't know. He has no idea, right? But
he might know. Maybe he keeps.
He might.
It's part of it. It's part of the bit.
He might. Because I'm going to tag him in this when it comes out. So.
Amazing.
But yeah, no, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's really, really cool. Now, how long was it from the time you put all that together till its release?
Goodness, maybe a month and a half. It was really fast. Super fast turnaround. Yeah.
Damn.
Super fast.
Wow.
If it was even too long.
Now, forgive me, right?
Yeah.
And I say things that I probably come off like a total jerk, but
it's okay.
Now, did that song kind of help boost your following a little bit?
It did. Yeah, it did. And also, this probably sounds so bad, but it also helped feel like songwriters to take
it
more seriously.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. 100%. It'd be like, yeah. That makes all the sense in the world because it's not like, oh, who is this Erin Kirby?
Right.
Oh, no big deal. She just did a duet with Cameron Marlowe. You know, that's too funny. Now, being in Nashville, doing all these things, what part of this do you love? What part of this do you not love? I don't want to say hate, but not love.
Not love. Well, I love writing. I love the fact that I get to meet new people every freaking day. And I love that Nashville is so supportive of one another. I find that in a lot of other cities, it is like, especially music cities, it's less supportive. It's more of a competition. And in Nashville, we just all want everyone to do good. And I think that's awesome. Things I don't love? I don't really know. I guess I would have to say maybe the way that like playlisting works, just because you don't know until it happens. There's no like sign or indication. It just happens.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Now, as you are today, right, what is your, you know, let's just say a year from now, where do you hope to be, whether it's, you know, with your career as a solo artist, whether it's with the songs you've written that maybe other people have cut, you know, where do you see things a year from today?
Well, the biggest thing for me is I hope I'm playing more shows. I hope it comes to an opportunity where there's less writing and more shows. Performing is my favorite thing. I love connecting with my fans and just being able to play the songs that I've created. So that will happen. There will be more shows. So
yes, absolutely.
And then I would say I hope that I have merchandise out that goes along with my songs. Mm. I hope that there are more collaborations. I love collaborations, and I really hope I get the chance to release a few more within the next year.
Oh, girl, you're gonna. you're killing it right now. You've got it all going. You know, you're on the train and it's rolling.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's awesome to see and you know, you could feel how much enthusiasm and excitement you have just through the phone.
Yeah.
You know, I can only imagine, you know, that excitement and that feeling that you release on stage, because obviously it's always much more, right? But,
yeah.
You know, you must draw a crowd just with your enthusiasm alone.
You know, I honestly, I've always said it doesn't matter if there's one person or 1,000 people, like just perform the same because you never know what someone's going to get out of it. So,
yeah. And you never know who's watching.
That's true.
You know, you never know who's watching. You never know who's listening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why I always do these shows the way I do, because it's like, you know, I am who I am. Right.
Yeah.
Not much is going to change that, unfortunately, to some people. But, you know, I think we do this here, you know, much different than a lot of other people do these sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think that's important because it gives you an opportunity to be you.
Right.
Right. And it also gives me the opportunity to kind of like push you to be you.
Yeah.
You know, and not just something that maybe a label or a management wants you to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the conversation is designed to be raw and authentic so that you don't feel like you have to be in this box.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I love that. That's awesome.
So what are some things we got to look forward to in the near future for you?
Well, just yesterday I cut a final vocal on a song, and we have a few more that we are finishing as well. So there will definitely be some new releases. I think we're going to start with singles, but we're also talking about a potential EP for the summer. We'll see. I would say that that's like the biggest news right now would be just that songs are really getting finished and we're about to release some stuff.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm super excited for you, Erin. Like, I cannot wait to see what else you do.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. So, again, I thank you for your time. I know you're busy, and I don't take your time for granted at all. I like it means the world to me, like more than you know. But we have kind of a tradition here that I'm not gonna lie to you, I'm sick of, because it's been 200 and some odd episodes that I've asked the same question over and over again. But and it's the only question I literally repeat every episode, and it's not even really a question, it's more of a conversation piece.
Okay.
But because we are the Boots and Whiskey podcast, and I know you're under 21, so you've never had a sip of alcohol in your entire life.
Yeah.
But I'm going to ask anyway, what are your boots of choice? And if you've ever had the Devil's Liquid, do you like whiskey? Do you prefer another beverage? Mom and Dad, don't listen. We're going to stop listening right now.
So I actually have two boot brands. Is that okay? Is that allowed?
You can have all the boot brands.
Okay. Aria and Corral are my favorite boots. And it's very funny because I have huge feet. And
what?
Most boots do not fit me. And their boots always do. So that's Aaron, they're my favorites.
I don't know if you know this.
Hey, everyone. As always, I wanted to just tell you about our friends over at The Bar Book. The Bar Book is a mobile app designed to eliminate the guesswork when looking for a great drink and introduce users to new brands that have the flavors they love, regardless of price or name recognition. How badass is that, guys? In the same way music sharing apps introduce you to new songs, the Bar Book will give you personalized drink recommendations based on the flavors you love. That's freaking cool. The Bar Book is a veteran-owned brand founded by two U.S. Army veterans, Mike and Dolly, and they have a lot going on with this cool new app, guys. Check it out. We had Mike on the show not too long ago. You can check them out at thebarbook.co. You can follow them on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, all at The Bar Book. Rate your favorite beer, spirits, cocktails, and discover new ones that match your flavor profile all on The Bar Book. Go download it. Love having these guys as friends. Check it out. Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Or not, but like all the dudes in the world are going to be lining up in your DMs after hearing that.
Oh,
just so you know.
No, it's so funny too, because I'm 5'2", so people always expect me to have like little baby sized feet, and I have man sized feet. So
she's like, these are a size 12.
No, little girl, I've always dreamed of sharing shoes with my mom, especially as a little girl, and I just surpassed that. Now I share shoes with my father. So,
oh my god, Erin, we don't edit this show, sweetheart.
No,
so that's not going in.
That's okay. It's something I openly talk about. I feel that all little girls out there that are listening that have longer feet, like, it's okay.
Right. I can see somebody who doesn't really know you right now. And please, I'm gonna say something that might sound creepy and weird, but like, they're gonna go to your Instagram and be like, oh, look at this cute little blonde with huge ass feet.
Oh my gosh. Well, and answer your other question. No, I actually have never had a sip of alcohol, so I can't.
Ever?
No, never.
It's for you.
Yeah, it's never been a desire of mine. And I honestly think that when I turn 21, it still won't be. So,
you know, that's awesome. That's really great. You know, because honestly, when I was in high school, like, I never drank.
Yeah.
And then I got to the year I graduated high school, and I don't want to say the wheels came off, but you know, like I got into it. You know, I drank a lot between 18 and 20.
Mm-hmm.
On my 21st birthday, I had the flu really bad.
Oh my gosh.
So I didn't go out for my 21st birthday.
Okay.
You know, well, I went out because it's my 21st birthday, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I swallowed down a couple of beers, and it was like drinking liquid razor blades.
Oh my God.
And I remember, like, I was sitting at a bar and I ordered a beer. I took two sips of it and I was like, I have to leave. And I went outside, and this is so gross, and I apologize. And then I threw up all over the sidewalk.
No.
And everybody's like, oh my God, he's so drunk. And I'm like, no, I'm sick as shit. Like,
no.
Yeah, it was bad. It was bad. And my girlfriend at the time, like, brought me home, you know, the whole nine yards, like, hosed me down in the shower. And, you know, and like, at this point, by the time we got back, like, we went out early. It was like, I don't know, 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And we got back, it was like 8:39, and my parents were already in bed because I was living at home. And like, my mother, the next morning, she was like, I was so happy you were home at that time, you know? And it's like, well, I wasn't, because then I had like this flu or whatever the hell it was for like 2 weeks. It was the worst thing in the world.
Oh my goodness. That's terrible.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. It was brutal.
Wow. Wow.
Yep. I lost a lot of weight though, so that was nice.
No, that's not good.
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, trust me, I packed it back on two times. But yeah, it's wild.
That's
wild.
Crazy. Yeah, I would say I'm most excited for the fact that I'm turning 21, just to be able to get into event spaces.
Yeah.
I can go see shows and like see my friends play rounds. That's what I'm most excited about. So.
Yeah, because you're a good girl and you don't have a fake ID or anything like that.
So. I don't, no. Yeah. I actually like the I'm such a goody two shoes.
I love that. It's so sweet. I love that you laugh and snort. Can I just say that?
Oh yeah, I do.
Oh my God, this is like old, you know, it seems like it probably feels like dad saying this, but like it's like the cutest thing. Cause I do that. If I laugh at something and like I truly mean it, like I snort and everybody's like, did you just snort? And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Sure did.
Right? Yeah. No, I one time was in Target and I was actually on FaceTime with my mom and we were laughing about something. I snort and this lady turns around at me and I was like, oh no, she's going to start yelling at me or something. And she goes, I just have to ask you a question. Is that real? Because I have a friend who snorts and I didn't know if she was just faking. And I was like, no, it's real. Like, I cannot stop it.
Oh my God. That's too funny.
Yeah, I was snorting more because I was laughing so hard.
Yeah, you know, there's been times where like I laugh at something and like I snort and like somebody will be like, did you mean to do that? And I'm like, no, like no, it was not intentional at all. Damn.
That's great.
Damn. Well, Aaron, thanks so much for coming and laughing with me. You know, I'm not going to lie to you. I needed the laugh this week. That's for sure.
Oh, my goodness. Well, thank you. I really appreciate it. Thank you for taking the time.
Yeah, anytime. Whenever you got things coming out, let us know and we'll push it out there. You know, just give me a heads up because I can't, you know, it's hard when, you know, there's so much new music out all the time. But, you know, when our friends do things, we'd like to push it for them.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, definitely. We'll let you know. We've got some stuff coming. So
yeah, can't wait. Can't wait.
Awesome.
Well, thanks again. You know, if you want to tell people how to find you, how to get your stuff, how to, you know, hunt you down on social media or whatever, you know, by all means.
Yeah, it's all the same everywhere. Aaron Kirby Music. Aaron the girl spelling E-R-I-N. Kirby like the vacuum and the music.
Wait a minute. Kirby like the vacuum?
Yeah, there's a Kirby vacuum brand.
Is there?
Yes. There is.
Huh.
Yeah.
There it is. Love it. I love it. I was thinking like Kirby like
the pink thing?
Yeah, like the video game.
Yeah, there's that too. So if you're more familiar with that, then
well, it's just because I'm old, you know.
I think the vacuums are the oldest, actually.
See, like, I don't even, for some reason, and this is where the show goes off the rails. Kirby does it's not just ringing a bell. I don't doubt that they exist, you know, but I'm like, you know, Hoover, Dyson.
Yeah.
Like, those are the two, like, everybody knows.
Look, you're going to go look into it, and you're going to buy it.
I am. And I'm going to be like, oh, no shit.
Be like, wow, these things really are good.
Right? These things really suck. That's what I'm going to do. When I promo this show, it's just going to be a vacuum cleaner.
That's good. Yeah. Be like, yeah. The vacuum.
Oh my god. Oh my god, I need to go to bed.
Really... Oh, what?
No, really? It's only 7:38 my time.
Yeah, you still have like 20 minutes left.
20 minutes to what? Bedtime? Actually, I got 20 minutes until my kid's done football practice, because we're talking in my car in the parking lot of the football practice.
Oh, that's so awesome. That's amazing.
Yeah. And it's raining. So it's
I was like, this
actually works perfectly. I don't have to, you know, now I don't need an excuse to not get out of the car because I got things I got to do in the car. I don't have to be wet. It's awesome. It's so good. I can see the lights from the field.
There you go. You got it all.
Right. I can, you know, I can pretend that I, you know, care about practice from here. You know, not that I don't care.
Right.
But, you know, I don't need to watch drills. Oh.
Yeah, it's raining. So.
Yeah, exactly. It's raining. If it was nice out, you know.
You'd be out there.
Probably not. I'd still probably be in the car. Oh, Erin Kirby, thank you so much for everything. You're such a sweetheart. I appreciate your time so much. I, you know, good luck with everything. And like I said, you know, feel free to have Caitlin reach out with anything, and we'd be happy to help you out.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
All right. You're welcome.
Have a good day.
You too. Have a great night.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Now we're going to thank our friends on the North Shore, the Porch Southern Fair and Juke Joint. Our buddy Jonathan Post is the head chef and owner of The Porch. They are at 175 Rivers Edge Drive, right in Medford, Massachusetts. Don't want to miss this place. They have some of the best food in the region. Jonathan has brought his Nashville roots here to New England with the food, with the hospitality, and most of all, the music. Check them out. ThePorchSouthern.com. Well, there you have it, everyone. Erin Kirby, again, such a sweetheart. She's killing you guys. Like, unbelievable. I mean, that story about Cameron Marlowe is just so freaking funny. And Cameron, my man, I'm not going to let you just roll over, man. I'm still waiting for my interview. You know, I've blown off twice, man. I've talked shit. I'm not going to lie, bro. I have talked shit. But we would love to have you, Cameron Marlowe, anytime. I know you can't help some of the bureaucracy bullshit, and I get that. But again, Erin was fantastic. Guys, if you haven't listened to her stuff, go. Stop right now and go. Because she deserves it. She's a sweetheart, like I said. Absolute talent powerhouse. You're gonna see her name in lights real soon. You know, and I mean, she's already doing the damn thing, right? Like, damn, dude. Cameron Marlowe, TikTok famous, like, Jesus Christ. Sorry, New Englander, we swear, but fuck, just so good. So thank you, everybody that's here. Go check out our socials again. bootsandwhiskeyentertainment.com is the website. Check it out. We don't have much coming up, but that's okay. I'm okay with it. What else? Next week, we got some good stuff. I don't know who next week's episode is, because I think I have to move some things around for other people. But anyway, thank you so much for being here. Again, check us out on all of our socials. We greatly, greatly, greatly appreciate it. And, you know, as you could tell, guys, right, here at the Boots and Whiskey Podcast, it's all about real people, real stories, real country. Thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. Without you guys, there is no show. So take care of each other. And until next week, guys, keep those boots on the ground, the whiskey in the glass. Cheers, y'all. Good night.